This is chapel service for May the 9th, 1962. Mr. Hendricks is presiding over our service.
Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this school year and go forth to the tasks that lie ahead in the summer months and in the other months ahead, we pray that we may go with gratitude for the opportunities and blessings which have been ours during this year, and that we may go with a firm resolve in our hearts to do thy work well in working with people. We need forgiveness, mercy, love, wisdom. We need a consciousness of thy spirit every step of the way. We need power from on high for the everyday events of life here on earth. Lord, be with us. Give us the wisdom that we need and the strength that is required of us. And be thou our guide, for we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. In the 20th chapter of John, we are told, the risen Lord said to Mary of Magdala, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am now ascending to my Father and to your Father, my God and your God. Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with her news. I have seen the Lord, she said, and gave them his message. Jesus had meant a great deal to Mary. He had brought forgiveness and had made her life different. She was devoted to him. He had become the Lord of her life. The crucifixion of her Lord was almost more than Mary could stand. She could not understand why they had condemned him and killed him. Shocked, broken, saddened, and confused, but still devoted to her Lord, she went back to the tomb early that morning. And in the garden there, she discovered the great secret. She encountered the risen Lord. At his bidding, she went and told the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she gave them the Lord's message. Every person who is enrolled in Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary has come here because of an experience with the risen, living Lord of life, and on account of his call to go and give the world the Lord's message. During the summer months, each of us will have opportunity to let people know that we have seen the Lord, and in doing so, we can give them the Lord's message. This is our calling and our opportunity. What will you do with this opportunity? What will you do with it each day out on the field somewhere? Mary did not seek out a formal setting in a synagogue on a certain day in the week. She simply went from person to person, telling each one about her experience and sharing with each one the message of her Lord. This any one of us can do. This is something that we can do any day in the week. We can do it whenever we are in the presence of one or more other persons. And if we follow the example of Mary, it will make a difference in the lives of tens of thousands of people with whom we associate in the next few months. Because nearly 500 students and graduates from this seminary, this year's students and graduates will be employed by churches in the summer of 1962. Each one will be associated with people. Are you committed to go forth from this place and tell the people that you have seen the Lord and to give them His message? The people want to know about the Lord. They hear so many conflicting reports about Him that they are anxious to have word from someone who has had a personal encounter with Him and who can assure them that He is risen and that He has conquered sin and death, and that they too can conquer sin and death through devotion to Him. The people whom we will work with this summer are busy. They do not have time enough to study for long hours the issues of death and sin and salvation and life, as we have had opportunity to study them here on the campus. Every week in the year, these people live close to tragedy, sickness, suffering, failure, excitement, work, success, and achievement. Life for them is full, exciting, at some points disappointing, confusing, always demanding. When the minister of Jesus Christ comes, the people want him to tell them about the Lord. They read the papers and watch television, and many of them are better informed about current events than we are. They do not look to us for information about current events, mainly. These people do not live in an academic atmosphere, and they are not primarily interested in philosophy or theology as such. They are concerned about the great eternal truths involved in philosophy and theology. Only a few days ago, a layman said, "I have a suggestion. Go back to the seminary and request that the young preachers tell us about the Lord when they come to our churches. Some of them come into our pulpits and reproduce classroom lectures. We can tell that's what they're doing when they preach. We want to know about the Lord. We want to know about the Lord that lives in personal experience of the minister. And we want the preacher to give us his message in such a way that we can apply it to our lives." I heard a layman compliment his pastor a few days ago. He said, "Last Sunday my pastor gave me something that I could take with me into everything I did the next week. His sermon was a great blessing because it made me conscious of my Lord during the week." One professor of philosophy put it this way. He said, "I spend all week beating out my brain on philosophy and psychology. When I go to church on Sunday, I want the minister to speak to me out of his own experience about the Lord. And I want him to speak in language so simple and clear that I cannot misunderstand what he is talking about." We will have the opportunity in the next few weeks to speak to the illiterate and the learned, to the poor and the rich, to the sick and the healthy, to the old and the young. In each person out there, there is a yearning of the soul for assurance about God, the Savior, forgiveness, mercy, and love. Each human being confronts us with the same basic spiritual needs. Each one needs to be moved from a lower level to a higher level of life. Henry Ward Beecher once said that eloquence is the art of moving men from a lower to a higher life. It is the art of inspiring them toward a nobler manhood. This will be your mission and mine in the months ahead. We will be engaged in the art of inspiring men, women, boys, and girls toward a nobler manhood as we tell them that we have seen the Lord and explain to them what His message is. Now I would like for all of us to stand together and in a spirit of earnest prayer, sing as a sort of a prayer commitment, hymn number 354, Thou My Everlasting Portion.
God, like Mary, we have found favor with Thee. Thy forgiveness has cleansed our souls and quickened our spirits within us. Thy divine confidence hath encouraged and inspired us to attempt to be our best selves. Thy holy purpose for us has made us feel unworthy but grateful. As we approach our responsibilities for the months ahead, embrace us in divine love, strengthen us with the power of Thy might, and lead us to do Thy will. Enable us to proclaim to the world that we have seen the Lord, and help us to make the Lord's message clear, for we ask it in His name and for His sake.